I'm Brett Chang.
And I am Jay Rosenthal, and this is your Peak Daily for Friday, April 12th, 2024, where we cover the biggest stories in Canadian and global business, finance, and tech, all in less than 7 minutes.
So do you need a go? If so, you're in luck because a Sicilian island can't give them away fast enough. Tiny Alicudios, population is 100, is offering to give away the 600 or so goats that have overrun the community to anyone who will have them. One resident said that some goats are nice and robust, so some people are scared, while others fear they will enter their home. Jay, are you interested in the goats? You want one?
Not that I don't want a goat, because I do want a goat, and we jokingly talk about it a fair amount, but we recently got rid of all of our grass. You need grass if you have a goat, but they don't need a ton of space, is what I'm told, so that's good. And if you have a lot of grass and maybe a hillside, goats could be a good option, but I would also worry about them entering my home. That would be a disaster.
Have you ever ate goat?
Yes.
I imagine I've had a goat curry. Does that sound right?
Yes. Curry kid? Yeah. Like, I think that's a thing.
Yeah. I feel like I've had it. It's not memorable to me, which means it's not bad. It means it's probably good. And so I don't understand why they just don't eat the goats.
I don't know the answer to that. Maybe you want specific goats to eat.
Yeah, I really don't know. Maybe.
But do you have to get the goats from the island in Sicily to your house?
Yeah. The other thing too is that now I'm thinking about it. When I was in high school, we did this annual play for Free the Children that became the Wee Charity. Very controversial. But it would be a big fundraiser and you would raise money to try to get a family a goat. And the whole idea was that goats were sustenance for people, for families in many communities and more remote places. So it just feels like a waste that they're just giving away like this. They should be giving them to people that need the goats.
Sure. It's transporting goats that's probably very expensive off the island. That would be my guess.
Probably, yeah.
I'm not a goat expert. I'm not the goat of goats, if you will.
No, you are not. You're not really the goat. I'm not sure you're not the goat of anything, Jay.
I'm the goat of this podcast. That's not even true about that.
No, I'll give it to you, sure.
Right aside from this ridiculousness, on Friday morning, what do you have for Peak Pals today?
For our first story, the government has been using AI a lot. For our second story, Rogers Center revamped and our big picture.
Brett, for our first story, much like a lazy student tired of writing essays, the federal government loves using AI. How is the government using AI?
Yes, here's what's happening. The feds have used AI in nearly 300 projects and initiatives per new research from a professor at Western University. It took 2 years to compile all the use cases, scraping info from databases, news sources, and access to information requests.
The Canadian Food Inspection Agency uses AI to track invasive plants, insects, and mollusks, while Fisheries and Oceans Canada uses it to detect marine mammals in images.
Other use cases are more serious. The RCMP and Border Agency both use facial recognition technology, a contentious tool some advocates want banned outright.
It matters because the report raises concerns about government transparency regarding new and powerful AI tools and the use in their highly sensitive areas. It's especially troubling given that proposed AI protection legislation would mostly not apply to government's use of AI.
The Artificial Intelligence and Data Act promises consumer protection from businesses using high-impact AI systems, but doesn't offer the same level of attention for governmental use.
Examples of so-called high-impact systems include biometric identification and employment screening, aka two things the feds have already used AI for.
The bottom line is the feds are trying to walk a fine line between letting AI innovation flourish, here there to that $2.5 billion pledge we talked about a few days ago, Jay, and reining in harms. So far, these harms have been focused on what companies might do with AI. It could be time to look inward. For our second story, the Jays might have a losing record right now, but their stadium is turning into a real winner, Jay?
Yeah, I haven't been. I can't really tell, but here's this drive in the news. Toronto Blue Jays fans got their first taste of the latest Rogers Center's renos this week, with fans seated in the 100-level bowl, experiencing cushier seats, and those seats have cup holders, and a better view, or some of them have any view, of home plate.
For viewers at home, the only real noticeable change was the absence of legendary Blue Jays home plate lady from their screen. Due to the seat changes, the staple of Blue Jays broadcast for 15 years is now slightly to the right of home plate.
Tickets went up like 800% for her. Now, to catch you up, the changes marked the completion of the second phase of renos at Rogers Center that began in 2022. Last year, the first phase updated the outfield and drastically revamped the upper levels, adding new seats, social spaces, and a standing room only section.
Before this, Rogers Center hadn't been significantly changed since its opening in 1989. It was so out of date that MLB's commissioner said it needed to change.
It matters because for cities large enough to have stadiums, updates are important to keep attracting visitors and grabbing the attention of world-class events, not to mention the athletes that actually want to play there. These days, there's an added emphasis on making a trip to the stadium an event in and of itself, with shopping, food, and all the other stuff that's going on there.
Well, the economic benefits of actually building a stadium remain quite dubious. It's important to tend to the ones that are already there, lest they become a money pit.
Now to zoom out. What happens when you don't proactively update things? Look at the mess at the Olympic Stadium in Montreal, which missed out on big events and is now undergoing an $870 million, not a typo, roof repair, though some critics think it should just be demolished altogether.
And for our big picture, Costco is sold out of gold bars. The wholesaler started selling gold bars in October and is now seeing up to $200 million a month in total precious metal sales, according to Wells Fargo. People are buying gold at record prices. 1 ounce bars go for $2,000 a pop because when the economy is shaky, gold is the go-to. You really can get anything in bulk then, Jay.
I guess you can. No Frills enters the telecoms fighting ring. It's a one-stop shop for groceries and now your new phone plan too. Four new cheap plans will soon be offered under the No Name brand and will be powered by PC Mobile and priced the same. The plans are modest, data up to 4 gig speeds and no international roaming, but stands against major companies like Rogers and Telus.
McKinsey overcorrects for hiring spree. The consulting company has slashed hundreds of jobs as a growing number of clients had paused on their longer-term investments. It's the latest effort in the consulting space to trim the fat of overhiring during the pandemic boom era. Firms like EY and PricewaterhouseCoopers also recently cut jobs. Peak Pals, thanks for making us the most listened to business news podcast in Canada.
If you got a second, why not follow this podcast on your app of choice and leave us a review?
And if you want more Peak, make sure to subscribe to our daily newsletter at readthepeak.com.
Have a great day and a great weekend, Peak Pals.